Biscuit. What large ears you have, Biscuit.
Look at those little ears.
Look at your ears. I'm not going to give you any cheese. You already like me. I don't need to convince you of it. So no cheese. Sorry. Your love is biting you in the ass, Biscuit, which is kind of what love does, isn't it?
Would you like a water cracker?
Oh, I'll give you a water cracker.
There's a little nibble of a water cracker.
Nom, nom, nom. Oh, fuck. I love olives.
You're talking to yourself, are you?
I'm talking to Biscuit.
Biscuit, you're in the way, honey.
All right, Tiff, you're gonna have to get close to the mic.
Why?
Oh, no.
Why aren't you?
Fuck Biscuit.
I'm Tiff Waldron, Pink Boots Society Australia President, Certified Cicerone, and Beer Educator.
And I'm Lindsay Gregg, a Certified Cicerone, Professional Snack Queen, and Brewer. And we're here to explore the people and conversations that aren't always front and center of the beer industry.
You're listening to Crack the Ceiling Podcast.
Welcome to Crack the Ceiling Podcast.
We're back after many months away.
Many months.
Many months.
The last episode we had was with Jane Lewis.
It was an incredible episode.
That was an amazing episode. And I think
best
part of us never recording again was because we were like, well, that was it.
To be fair, we have recorded episodes since then and deemed them not good enough to share.
Yep, mostly me, because I was too lazy to edit them. But also I was like, it's too much. I can't do it. The world is collapsing around me.
Well,
it wasn't. It was just it was a busy summer for both of us. Lots of work things, lots of beer festivals, running masterclasses at beer festivals, in addition to full-time jobs.
We've really added like an extra layer to summer festival season.
Yeah.
Where we also go to festivals for our day jobs.
Yeah.
And then added another layer of...
Yeah. And then...
Very fun layer.
Lots of Pink Boots stuff.
Always.
There was a symposium. And you had the IBD conference.
Yeah.
And then we had AIBAs and we judged the AIBAs again this year.
I got sick and then after
the beer week. And then we both got COVID.
And then I got COVID and you got COVID.
And then here we are.
It's been a busy, really busy season.
Yeah. You went to the States again as well.
Yeah, you know.
What was April? I don't remember April.
I don't know, but I always bring my mic with me as if we're going to podcast while I'm away. We never do.
No, we did podcast right before you left, and that was one of the ones that was like...
You'll never hear it.
Or you might. I don't know. Maybe if I really want to like... what do you call it? Fucking... What is that term? If I want to blah blah blah. Okay, I've had some beers.
You didn't even describe that in a way where I could try and decipher what you meant.
Yeah. Anyways, we're here.
We're here. We're podcasting. We've had some beers and we have a great cheese plate.
Two Birds is closing down.
Well, that's one way to just dive right into it.
Yeah, I feel like just like, let's not bullshit the bullshitters.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to know what day we're recording on, it was the day we all found out that Two Birds is closing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's heavy.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
It feels like mourning. Like it feels like we're mourning something. And it's interesting one because I feel like we all knew that it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. We knew that, you know, in selling to Stone & Wood, I felt like that ownership, I felt like nothing was going to change. Selling Fermento Monte Lion, you kind of knew that there's going to be a disconnect with the brand. And
yeah.
And I guess I feel like the mourning is just that like for the women and just generally diversity, all diverse people in our industry, like to Birds really meant something to us. It gave us something to aspire to. It showed us that big dreams can, you know, you can work towards them and make them happen. It's really sad to see it ending because I think, you know, you look back
shit.
12 years. I mean, I very distinctly remember having my first golden ale. We were at the brewery showcase at Fed Square. It was the very first time they brought out the beers. And I'll never forget it. I'd already known Jane at that point. I had met Danielle prior to that. And it was a really, really big deal for two women to be opening a brewery.
And they became a major brand in Australia. Like they became absolutely a recognizable brand in Australia.
And still, you know, and it was still not only that, but it still really stood for a change in the industry. It still stood for, you know, diversity. And they did a lot of work on it and they donated a lot of money and they donated a lot of time. And we know that there were a lot of people who would have otherwise felt uncomfortable in the industry who felt comfortable working there. And I think it's really sad to see it closing. And I know that, you know, from a Pink Boots point of view, it's really a lot to lose that as kind of a beacon, as a place where you could comfortably tell people that they should go try and join the industry through a business like that. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
I really feel for Jane and Danielle and I and the other staff there. And it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and I think it comes at a time as well right now that there's a lot of, I think in a lot of ways for the beer industry, this time right now feels worse than COVID did. Like, it feels a little more unstable.
Beer definitely held that kind of recession-proof industry, recession-proof product market during COVID, for sure.
Yeah.
It was something you could treat yourself with. It was something you could try.
There was
something,
the whole keeping local alive.
Yeah.
Like, people really...
And you know what? Opening a beer alone, because a lot of people did COVID alone. Opening a beer alone is, you know, not as... I don't know. This is why I started drinking beer back in the day. Was like opening a bottle of wine was a big commitment for the night.
Yeah.
Opening a can of beer or a bottle of beer was like, okay, I can comfortably have this one drink by myself.
Yeah.
And not feel bad about having it alone. And I want to say that, like, that probably still holds true for people today.
Yeah. But breweries are hurting.
Oh, since...
With excise laws. And, yeah. I mean, we're all hurting by inflation right now, but...
Logistics and logistics, ingredients. Raw materials. Absolutely.
Excise. An excise increase on beer is insane. They don't receive the same kindnesses that the wine industry receives in Australia.
Not from top to bottom does beer have anywhere close to the kind of support that wine gets.
Yep. So for the news today that Two Birds is closing on top of what's felt a little bit in the industry, it's shit. Yeah, it's real shit. It's just reflective of...
Of a shit time.
Of a shit time. But what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
I guess it's really important to know that there's still a lot of people out there who do support women in the industry. There's still a lot of people, you know, for me more than anything, I just want to see more.
Yeah, but can we talk about Reckless?
It's the same thing we talked about.
Can we talk about Reckless Brewing?
Yeah.
Because, like... To smash it at AIBAs this year.
Totally smash it. And Co-Conspirators.
And CoCon, yeah.
Those are two 50% women-owned breweries. Yep. Absolutely.
Anne Marie, who used to be at Stomping Ground with me, who's a fucking legend.
Lovely.
Is brewing at Reckless, and it is exciting to see her. I'm fucking
I saw her pop up on their social media today, and I was very excited. Yeah, but it all makes sense to me, and I love that.
Her partner, Steven, who used to be at Kaiju. I'm sorry, I'm really behind Reckless right now. I'm like, yes!
So Grace, I had met Grace at Akasha many, many years ago.
Oh, right.
And she came down for a Pink Boots Brew Day in Victoria this year.
She did, yeah.
Good to hang out.
She was at CoCon, which was one of the best brew days I've ever been to.
Oh, so many activities.
Really good. So well organized. So many people showed up.
Great day. But also, you know, it was one of those days again where just like last year and again, like coming out of COVID, it was important to make sure that we were networking and still talking to people. But again, this year, coming into the brew day, not knowing everybody, that's the best thing is going to the Pink Boots events and not knowing everybody there.
Yeah. When there's new people, young people.
Yay for new people. And definitely for young people.
Yeah. People that aren't jaded. And
you love it.
But also that bring a new passion and new insight. So hopefully someone's going to step into Two Birds' place, you know?
Yeah, I think especially after everything we talked about on our last episode with Jane and how important some of all of that was, and especially for attracting women and non-binary people into the industry, retaining them in the industry,
yeah.
It is really important.
Opportunities.
And I think all of this kind of leads into the topic that we did want to discuss today that isn't just this bad news.
Is
when a brewery or somebody in beer is involved with something that goes wrong or somebody does something that's perceived as bad by many people in the industry.
Someone fucks up.
Yeah, basically. Or breweries just want to do better. How do they get to reconciliation?
Yeah, like what is the road to redemption if you've been canceled? Or
yeah.
Like publicly shamed or called out like, hey, you fucked up. Like, what is your pathway to fixing that? And is there a pathway? You know, like is there one? Is there a definable one?
Yeah. And I think it's something that we've talked about a lot. We've talked about this a lot. Probably I would say there are a lot of women in the industry who've discussed this a lot from a Drinks Agents for Change perception. We've discussed this a lot because I think it's really easy to focus on the things that go wrong and focus on the negative energy. And you get a lot of it's a lot easier to have those conversations, I think. But it's really important that we allow space for redemption, allow space for reconciliation. And it's fucking hard, but to acknowledge it when people do better and give them that space, it's not easy. But I think, you know, there's probably a few points that I would want to touch on from this because I've thought about this a lot.
Obviously, yeah.
Because it's not the easiest for me to forgive and forget, be able to move on. So that's why I think I've had to think about this a lot because obviously I've worked in this industry a long time. I plan on working in this industry for a while. So being able to maximize
what we're able to do in this industry, I think is important.
Yeah. The first time we brought this up, Tiff, that you and I were talking about wanting to do this kind of episode, I felt that, well, I do feel like it was, you know, Brianne Allen during the Rap Magnet stuff.
Yep.
But I think the initial, I remember, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I thought the initial thought from you was like, when you've made a really big fuck up, there might not be a road.
I mean, in private, that is always my first reaction. My first reaction to everything is like, fuck this. No, flip the table. We're never going back from this.
Yeah.
But then, you know,
when you're being, given space to breathe,
being a grown up and looking at from a mature point of view, but also knowing like there's businesses and other people's livelihoods at stake. We need to consider all of this.
And we need to allow people to grow and learn as we're all growing and learning.
Which I think is one of the most important pieces of all of this is there has to be growing and learning.
Yeah.
At true growing and true learning.
And I'm not saying that it's likely to happen to anybody who actually listens to this podcast. So I don't know if any this even really matters.
But it does, because it's also a reminder that like as we're existing in the world and seeing these things happen to breweries, like this is not their be all end all. This is not like like have empathy on or like know that like people can come back from this. This doesn't condemn them forever.
Yeah. I think it just which is the first thing is if you find yourself in that position, know that if you're being called out, the women, the queer people, the people of color, whoever is in that position where they feel that they needed to say something, if they're saying it, dear God, undoubtedly you have done something wrong. It is so it takes so much courage to call something out. It is so much work to deal with calling something out. And if one person is calling it out, you can pretty much guarantee that there is an army of people behind them who've also felt the same way. So don't protect your choices there. Be open to listening to what happened and what the problem really is. Because it is so, it takes so much courage to call that out. First of all, don't defend your choices. And I think that's really important. And to acknowledge that something has gone wrong here and take that as a step to like take a beat and look at what's gone wrong.
So let's say if they fucked up and they did defend their choices, is there still a road to redemption after that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably the first thing to call out because it makes it so much harder.
Of course. But that's with anything, right? We all get really defensive when we start feeling attacked.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, obviously we're looking at this from the angle of this just happened in Australia. You're immediately starting on like five back steps when you do that as your initial response.
Yeah. And it is, but at the same time, it is human nature, right? So people who have not had the education or the benefits of recognizing when they're getting defensive, you know, if you came up to me, Tiff, and if you were like, I hate cheese, I don't want cheese in the world, it really sucks. I would probably get pretty defensive about that and be like, what the fuck? Eat some of this cheese now. And you would be like, no. And then I would take personal offense and I'd be like, well, we can't be friends because you hate cheese, which is ridiculous. I would get defensive. I would feel like maybe you were personally attacking me with your dislike of cheese.
Mm.
I wish I had a better way of saying this. I need some psychology training. But
I mean, I think it's more like if I said to you, Lindy, I think that you eating cheese is disgusting. You would immediately feel defensive and be like, no, it is not disgusting. But maybe I needed to explain myself better.
Yeah, because it's your personal opinion.
And maybe you needed to take a step back and go, oh, cheese is disgusting because whatever. Maybe in my culture, we don't eat milk. Or maybe it's because I'm lactose intolerant and that's why I've said that to you.
Yeah.
It is about understanding, like, is this coming from one person? Is this coming from a bunch of people? And that's where you have to immediately take that step back, get some more feedback, find out from more people, talk to the person who's calling you out, reach out, have a conversation. You may not get the conversation.
No.
But I think it's about the immediacy to look at somebody else's perspective should be the first reaction. And that's where it comes down to, like, you can't be defensive right away. Somebody is saying it for a reason. And
I think more what I'm saying is like, not everybody knows this and not everybody's had the life experience and the training to understand that they need to. So like, let's say they were defensive right away. What are the steps after that?
Well, I think after that, don't wait for things to get worse. Mm-hmm. Don't ignore the people who are reaching out to you because they're probably giving you the benefit of having the opportunity to listen to the problem. And I know from like my perspective from Drinks Agents for Change, we privately reached out to everybody involved to start with. And I know that even the people on Instagram who called it out had reached out privately to start with. And I think it's really important that if one person is doing that and then you don't respond and you keep brushing it off, it's probably going to get worse. And I think we've seen this happen more and more. Because then the next thing that happens is people on your social platforms will feel that what you've done is okay. And what happens is people then get bullied. And that is not okay. It is not okay to let your social media platform become a place where the people calling you are being bullied. And this is what has happened time and time again in Australia. And it's a very dangerous and unsafe position for people to be in.
But I do believe as well, because it does go both sides, right? We see this, and I'm just thinking of a Humans of New York post that happened recently where most people on Humans of New York preach love and acceptance and kindness. But then as soon as someone says something that they don't like, they start attacking that person for their body or like the way they look or something else. So I do, these things do go both ways, right? And we can get heated on both sides. Either sides, like, let's stop attacking each other. Calling out is one thing, bullying up on anybody on either side. Because then you just get people going to the extreme on both sides of the coin. And it's not great to see.
No, because what happens is the minority almost always becomes the party that's worse off. And we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen over years in our industry. And if you stand up for what you believe in, then you become this pariah. And I'm sorry, but I'm just really sick of seeing women in our industry being bullied for calling something out.
And also, when comments get out of control on your Instagram, you can turn comments off.
Not only that, but you're liable. You are legally liable for everything that happens on your social media page in Australia. So you need to be very careful about the comments on your posts on your page, because legally you are liable for everything that happens there.
All right. So let's say a company's done two fuck ups, right? And they have not dealt with that then and there. Is there still a road to redemption?
I still think there's a road to redemption.
Okay. Okay.
And that's where it's okay. You're coming out of what's happened. There are so many things that you can enact and look into and change afterwards. You can do something about it. You can make immediate changes. You should be educating yourself, educating your staff, collaborating with the community. Don't keep yourself in a silo. Let the people who called you out try and teach you something. Reach out to other people who may or may not be involved and learn everything you can to make changes. But you have to make actionable change, and then you have to show that you've made actionable change.
Yeah, you have to prove it.
You can't just put up a social media apology that says, to the effect that often happens, I'm sorry you were offended.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important, because we've seen this happen quite a few times, is the one woman on your team or the junior women on your team, because let's be honest, there aren't a lot of women in leadership roles in our industry who maybe said something was okay.
They become the scapegoat.
Well, and this is not your defense. This should never be your defense. No. You're putting those women in a very uncomfortable and dangerous position.
Yeah. If you have to ask, have to look at something and be like, maybe we should get a female perspective on this to see if we're crossing a boundary. If you have to ask that, guess what? You know you're crossing the fucking boundary.
Yeah.
You know.
But also, the women who work for you may not be in a position to truly say what they think or believe, because you're probably their boss.
100%.
The person who is asking is probably that other human's boss, and they are not in a position to say what they really think or what they want to do, or they may not have enough life experience to truly know how to respond to that. And yes, being their boss is power, or even being their manager is power.
Yes. And or even coming at them in a group of all men. We all just want to be accepted and loved.
Yeah.
In our communities.
We also want to, you have to protect your livelihood.
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. So very relevant to knowing that we wanted to talk about this today. Hop Culture Magazine, well, it's an online publication, has started a series.
Are there magazines anymore? There are, but.
Barely. An online publication, Hop Culture, has a series that they've just started on creating safer spaces in beer. So to me, this is very relevant. There were a lot of really good points, but also some really tangible things that have come out of it that even I've read it. So obviously this is free. It's available to everybody. There's no paygate. So I strongly urge you to read them as they come out. It's a series. Only the first two have come out. And I think this is what kind of drew me to it in relation to today's podcast. So in part one, the editor, Grace Lee Weitz, states, everybody should have an equal opportunity to enjoy beer. And right now, not everyone does. Now, that statement, I think, is really relevant to me, probably to Yulin's. I mean, does that resonate with you?
I mean, yeah. Like,
do you think everybody has an equal opportunity to enjoy beer right now?
Like, do I think in this current point in time, does everybody have an equal opportunity to enjoy beer? No, but I don't think anybody has an equal opportunity to enjoy anything. I don't think anybody has the equal opportunity to enjoy, like, things. There's a hierarchy in everything. So no.
I mean, I guess that's where I look at this going, this is a cone where I may have some influence, which is why I'm like, okay, well, this is something maybe I can do something about. Obviously, there's a whole bigger piece in part one.
But I mean, beer is supposed to be more accessible, right, than wine is.
It should. Beer should be for everybody. That's the whole point. It's wine financially accessible.
Rich white people. Or just really rich people. And beer is accessible.
Like, beer is supposed to be financially accessible, geographically accessible.
Flavorly?
It should be something that's easy for everybody to get and enjoy and be a part of. And there's lots of reasons why it's become like a white straight man's drink. And a lot of it has to do, especially in craft, where straight cis white men were starting breweries and hiring people who in their group of friends. So then part two of the series, she poses the question, what does a safe space look like in a brewery? And there's lots of things, right? It's everything from how do you deal with safe space for all genders, for LGBTQI+, how do you deal with it for handicapped people? It's all of these things need to be considered. And I think it's so many little things, and you can tell immediately if a woman hasn't been through the brewery when they open a bathroom door that doesn't lock correctly or has a hole in it, or even if it does lock, you can't tell if it's locked.
Or it doesn't have a bin.
Oh, yeah.
That is, if there is just one bathroom, even if it does lock and everything else, but there's not a bin in there. Hey, guess what, y'all? Women have periods. We need to dispose of that shit somewhere. And there's nothing worse than having to dispose of it in a public trash can. Like having to take it out of the bathroom with you.
You put it in your, stuff it in your purse
you
and deal with it later.
And you deal with it later.
What a shitty thing to have to do.
Yeah. So that's, and that's something that everyone needs to think about, right?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's literally these are very, very small things to think about. And there are so many, and it's everything from the people who are standing at your bar to the way your menu's laid out. But all these things need to be considered, which is why I think this, and this point is, I've been banging on about this for years, because the point that the editor has made was that change starts with leadership. I've been talking about this in public forums and private conversations, basically to empty rooms and with very little buy-in, but that diverse leadership in our industry is how things will change. But I'm not saying that like cis white men can't be good leaders, but the biggest thing for me is that they need to acknowledge that there's an issue, that outside perspectives are of utmost importance, and then put into practice changes to reach out, ask questions, take advice, ask staff. Because the thing that we've learned over and over again, what I've learned from Pink Boots, what we learned from Jane on the last podcast, was that who is working in your business will then create the change and bring in more people who are different and don't look like you. And if you want to create a safe space, you need to truly create that safe space. And that will bring in more and more people.
Yeah, visually, you need to create that safe space.
Not even visually. Like, we know people talk, right?
Yeah, people talk. But, like, it's also all of your behaviors, all your mannerisms, everything you do. People notice.
Yeah, because not only will this affect the staff that you can attract into a business, but the guests and the customers, because they will all feel safer, feel more welcome when they can see themselves reflected in the business, which is across everything from who's on the brew deck, who's behind the bar, who's your sales rep on the road. All of these things are reflected. And when somebody can see somebody who looks like them, immediately becomes a place where you feel comfortable, safe, accepted, and then you'll bring your friends in. Like, all of these can exponentially change a business.
With the brewery, if someone has fucked up so massively, if they take all of those steps to actively change their business, is it forgive and forget? Do we forgive and forget? Is it like, okay, look, here you go, they're doing the good thing now. Like, hey, let's make an example. Let's talk about this. There was a big change. Because, like, I don't know of a brewery that's come out of Rat Magnet's thing and made the big changes and is being acknowledged for it.
It is really hard. I think Modern Times was probably the only one that made really, really big changes. Yeah. And I don't know if it was the total market or all the changes they made, but obviously they were in a position where they had to sell. Which isn't great, but I think, you know, there, even in small ways, we need to make space for change, and showing that you've made the change is really important. It'll mean, you know, we'll come back in. Let's be honest. Australia really protects all of this. You can kind of get away with anything, but it's just not the right thing to do.
There's also some benefits to it, because I look as well in the States as aggressive call outs, and I'm gonna sue you, then you sue me back, then I sue you back, and then you sue me back, and then I sue you back. And there's just a lot of yelling, right? Like, I don't know what the way forward is at this moment, because I feel like on one side there's a lot of screaming at each other, and then on the other side there's one way screaming, but then there's not any protections or actions.
And that's where, you know, maybe it comes down to doing the right thing. And for me, it's making the change, taking the space to learn something, show that you've learned something. If there's a truly problematic person, they need to be removed from the business, and it needs to be public. I know that there are bad people in our industry, and some of them have been removed from the business and a lot of them have not. None of it is something we can publicly talk about, and that makes it really hard. But I know the ones where the people are removed, that's where I go, okay, well, maybe there's some space there. Maybe there is a possibility there where even many years down the line, you can get to redemption or reconciliation. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, those are the really big things and the really bad things. But there's, you know, I think what's really important is to start with small things.
100%.
Learning, making sure that everybody's safe in your business. And also, every brewery and every festival should have a code of conduct. There is no excuse not to.
Yeah. But in addition to learning, I think there's also a massive empathetic teaching opportunity. Like, and I just think having empathy when people don't
absolutely
see, like if somebody actually has to ask for clarification on something or say, hey, I don't understand what the problem with this is, it's not their fault for not knowing. Because it's just the way their life has been. Like, we're not the all perspective.
Everybody lives in their own perspective.
We do. And we live in our own feed of media. And we live in our own feed of information coming at us. And we all have our own educations and backgrounds. So we're not all getting the same information and data.
Absolutely.
So when somebody asks, or if somebody doesn't know, teach them.
Or if you're not the person to teach them, you probably know somebody else who can.
Or you can point them to websites.
All of these things exist. Yeah.
You can just be like, look, I don't want to go into this. Here's some links. Read it if you want to.
And also, just because you've apologized and you've moved on, chances are everyone else hasn't moved on. If you've truly done the work to change or make some changes and you're working on it, keep talking about it. Don't let it end because you dug yourself out of a shithole. Talk about what you've done and keep talking about the changes that you're making, and don't let it end it because you got out of one situation. I think it's really important. And again, this is looking back on the things that have happened over the last few months. It's not over. We haven't forgotten. And there's definitely still space for reconciliation and redemption. And I think some people know that they still have work to do. And what is promising is some of the parties are definitely still interested in doing the work. And I think that's really important.
100%. You know, educate each other.
It's important to talk to other people with different experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And which then comes back to whatever you're doing, the way you're building your marketing plans, the way you're writing your copy, don't discount the fact that, because while your current customer base may be mostly men aged 25 to 45, please stop discounting the fact that there are many other people out there who could be buying your product and you are not marketing to them.
Bigger picture, bigger audience, bigger
stop
money.
Selling beer to men or women buying beer for their men.
Yes, please stop that. It's so exhausting. It's not funny. It's not funny anymore. It's not, and it goes the same for women. Like, don't be like, oh, my husband, I hope he doesn't know I bought another pair of shoes. Like, let's get rid of all of that. Can we? Okay.
We've had some really good beers today while we talked about a heavy topic.
Yeah.
Heavy topics the whole episode.
Yeah.
Happy with that. We had great beers, great cheese.
Great cheese. Yeah. All in all, really good.
Yeah. I'd really love to hear, if you're listening to this, to hear your thoughts on this.
Just Tiff would love to hear. Not
I
me.
Would genuinely.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay, well, I really do care, and I really do want to hear how you think breweries can reconcile or find redemption. Do you think that there is a way? Is there anything that we've missed in this?
Yeah, and we want to hear. And also, let's face the fact, we're not all going to agree.
No, and I'm fine with that.
And that is okay.
I will still stand by the fact that you can't just, I'm sorry you were offended by what I said. I'll probably fight that one for a while, but for the rest of it, I'm pretty open to hearing what everyone else has to say.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Let's just not like gaslight each other. Unless we're just doing that to someone who's already gaslit us. And in that case, gaslight away, I say, because they never like it. Reverse gaslighting and have a laugh as you do it and they don't know how to respond to it.
Keep it above board.
Revenge. Anyway, so Tiff and I are going to go get our tarot cards read and we'll talk about that on the next episode.
Sure. All right. Maybe that means we can write it off as a business expense.
Absolutely not, Tiff. We have no business out of this thing.
No, I love to think we could.
6 months. Tiff, where can we find you at? Haha, I remembered.
She beat me to it. You can find me at Beer Girl Bites on all the things. Linz, where can we find you?
You can find me at Talk Beardy to Me on all the things.
And you can find us at Crack the Ceiling Podcast
on some things.
Like Instagram and give an email address.
Yeah, but nobody emails us.
We'd have to check to know.
Would someone please fucking email us? Also, remind us to check our email.
See you soon.